Welcome to the ECS Equip Podcast, a weekly podcast for K-12 Christian educators and parents. Our objective is to give voice to equip our K-12 school community about thinking and teaching in light of a Christian worldview. We cover a host of issues, purpose to scratch where our parents are itching, seeking to answer some of their most pressing questions. I am so encouraged and thankful that today we have a team from Colorado, the Access team, Logan Floyd and Courtney Maloney. So welcome. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
We're glad to be here.
So I was in Colorado a little over a year ago. I was going through a program called the Colson Fellows Program, and I heard David Eaton, the president and one of the founders of Access, speak. And I was really captivated by his information, the way he presented the information, and felt like he truly understood culture and teen culture. And so I thought, man, I've got to find out more about this. And so I began a journey finding out more about Access, and really, really appreciate what you guys stand for. But just kind of talk about who Access is, your aim, your purpose, your mission.
Yeah, so Access started 10 years ago in 2007. As you said, David Eaton is one of our co-founders, him and Jeremiah Callahan. And they were both, one of them was on staff at Summit, Summit Ministries, which is another great ministry based out of Manitou Springs. And essentially, it's worldview content. And they wanted to essentially take Summit's material on the road, because they saw a lot of their friends walk away from their faith and become atheists, and they didn't want that to happen anymore. And so they were like, we need to have a good foundation. And so essentially they just took that material and started traveling around speaking on different worldviews, different religions, beliefs, and then it's kind of developed into its own thing since then. And so we've kind of have shifted actually from not just speaking to students, because we realized that, you know, we can only go in for one day, 2 days, 3 days into a school. And while that could have an impact, we realized that we wanted to reach the people that are with them every single day. So a few years ago, we kind of made the shift to focus more on the people that are going to be with students every day. So parents, teachers, administrators, et cetera. And so that's why now we do a lot of resourcing for parents, and we try to help translate their students' culture for them. So that's kind of our main tagline, is culture translation. And we are young enough. We hire young. So Courtney and I are, well, I'm almost 24. Courtney's
22.
Yeah, 22. And so we're still young enough to, you know, the students in age that we
I noticed how you didn't ask her age officially. You kind of looked at her because you're not, you know, as a gentleman, you're not supposed to ask a lady.
Yeah, right? I'll let her.
I feel very old as a 22-year-old. Yeah. I cannot reveal my age.
I'm just not going to get in trouble there, and I'll let her explain that for herself. But yeah, so we are young enough where we, you know, can understand what's going on in students' culture, and we kind of still get the lingo and
kind of.
Sometimes it can be hard to keep up. But then we're hopefully mature enough and old enough where we can translate that for adults, because they are the ones that are having the conversations with these students every single day. And we want to bridge that generational gap. And so that's kind of the heart behind Access. We want to challenge students to really think about what they believe, but at the same time, resource the people that are with them every single day to have good conversations about tough issues and everything going on with culture today.
Yeah. And I appreciate how you encourage parents to have those conversations. And it's as a dad, I've got a teen. I'm dad of a teen, and so it's so hard to keep up. When I was when I first started in Christian education, it was 13 years ago or so. MySpace was huge, and kind of going, okay, how do I deal with this? I remember having my first parent meeting, and parents are kind of going, what in the world's MySpace? No one knew what that was. You know,
it still exists.
I don't know that anyone is using it.
But so it's an ever changing thing that I think there are people out there that can help equip parents, and that's really what y'all do. You stand in the gap and help. You have this thing called Culture Translator, which is an email that's sent to me. I get it every Friday in the afternoon, and it's so good because it's a highlight of the things that kids are thinking about doing. One of the things that y'all presented to, you came yesterday and presented to a lot of our faculty members, and came last night to some of our families, and then you're about to speak to students. It was sobering. The hashtag send a nude photo day. That was one of the things I saw in that culture translator. But there's a little bit of a shock value to some of the stuff that I see on this thing, because I'm going, what in the world? So talk about that and the use of Culture Translator, how you disseminate that, and then what your real purpose in getting that information to another generation is.
I think I as I've been traveling around, like with Access, I've heard a lot of parents just express that desire to keep their child in a bubble and to try to like protect them from everything that culture is telling them or media is telling them. And in this day and age, I just don't think it's possible. And I think it does a disservice, because then parents are omitting themselves from this conversation. And so our desire is to kind of just like highlight things that their students are aware of. I mean, in our Culture Translator that we just sent out last Friday, we talked about Taylor Swift's new, I think she dropped a single called, I don't remember what it's called, but it's about like reputation or something. And so just kind of highlighting what are some of the themes that we actually hear T-Swift talking about. And it's normally revenge. And it's like, this is what it looks like to be powerful. And so to kind of highlight that for the parents, for them to then go in and have a conversation, because like our big heart is also discipleship, because since we're only here for a couple days, we can't be the ones to like really walk alongside students. So we want to help you all as educators and parents to then walk alongside with students. And that includes knowing their culture, knowing their world, knowing the messages that they're being told. And so then they, like, who are, you know, wiser and smarter and higher level of thinking, can say, what are the messages? Is this good? And then equipping their students to be able to do that for themselves. And then all with the purpose of course, building lifelong faith.
Mm. That's well said. Yeah. And that's our heart, and so I'm so thankful for the ministry you have, because I think you're living in a space that we all need. We need that. We need people evaluating that every day what are the waves of culture, and what are the messages culture is sending, and how do we prepare, not protect? And I think that's a big difference. That's a completely different paradigm shift, really theologically, because I think culture is a very good thing. We oftentimes look at it as a very bad thing, and it is. There, sin has impacted culture. It impacts us, but also impacts culture. But the reality is, and even back in the early days of the church, they were fighting some of these battles, you know, matter and the Gnostics and all these things, knowledge and... But really, culture at its heart is a very good thing. God saw creation, what He created, as and it was very good. Genesis 1:31. Then we have the fall, and so it is impacted, but it is not totally bankrupt. We are essentially to be called to be redemptive agents in this culture in which we live. And what does that look like for parents? What does it look like? And so I ask this question a lot as a dad, and I encourage our parents to ask this: is this something to redeem or reject? I think that's a real simplistic way to go, okay, is there redemptive qualities in this, or is it something to outright reject? And I think that's so tell me about some of the things kids are doing.
Oh boy, that's a loaded question.
Lots of things.
I mean, I think there's some obvious answers on you know, you see things like pornography. That's one of the biggest issues that we see today, both inside the church and outside of the church. I think, unfortunately, the church has not always talked about it, and so it's kind of been brushed under the rug, and now it's an even bigger issue, especially with technology. And you have smartphones in your pockets, but we kind of create this culture of shame in a lot of ways around pornography. I mean, and don't get me wrong, it is absolutely wrong, and it's a distortion of something that God originally created to be good with sex. But I think we are doing ourselves a disservice by not necessarily talking about it. And so, you know, you see stats that like close to 70% of men in the church have struggled with pornography or do struggle with pornography, and that number's like over 30% with women. And so like that's a big issue. I mean, we see things, identity seems to be a huge issue now, like more so than any other generation before. I feel like we don't know who we are, and we are putting our worth and our value based on what other people think about us. And so we talk about social media and everything that entails. It's just a whirlwind of information, and we're in this identity crisis.
But I think it's crazy, because that's nothing new. like that has been an issue from the beginning of time. It's just, it manifests itself in different ways. And so I think it's harder to recognize sometimes, or maybe as parents, you're like, okay, why are they so addicted to their phones? Like, what is, like, technology is ruining our lives. And I don't think that's it. I think it's an identity issue. It's feeling the need for validation. It's feeling the need to be connected. You know, that God-given, like, desire within us to have community. And we're just looking for it in other ways, and in ways that may look new to, like, parents and educators. Sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and we talk about that in presentations a lot. Like, these issues are, these are just the leaves. It's not necessarily the root issue. Like, students don't go to pornography and to social media because they want those things in and of themselves. Oftentimes, it is that deeper issue where they have a lost sense of identity, or they're seeking satisfaction somewhere and in all the wrong places. So that plays into a lot, unfortunately. I mean, identity, pornography,
a lot of anxiety and depression.
Yeah, yeah, and more so we're seeing, like, within the last three decades, we're at, like, an all-time high for the depression rates and suicide rates, unfortunately, especially among teens. I mean, we're from Colorado Springs, and Colorado Springs, pretty affluent area, has one of the highest teen suicide rates in the country. And, you know, so why is that happening? Well, there's a lot of reasons behind that, but for some reason or another, you know, students are they're looking for fulfillment, and they're not finding it somewhere. And unfortunately, that has become an alternative. And what are we doing to combat that? And so, like, I mean, so that's just a few issues. So suicide, depression, anxiety. We actually just released a virtual conversation kit where we have virtual presentations that we put online on that very topic, because we see that it is one of the biggest issues with our generation today, that we are more depressed, lonely, and suicidal than ever before. And so what are we supposed to do in the midst of that?
Late last spring, I started getting pecked on this 13 Reasons, the Netflix series.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I started watching it, and I was captivated by it. Mm-hmm. It was it drew me in. The music was really powerful. The acting was superb. Mm-hmm. The characters, I think kids like it because they can identify with so many different characters. Yeah. And it was so sad to me. And so we actually had had someone that had actually read that in their graduate school, that series, mm-hmm. and write a paper on it, and we sent it out to our community, how to talk to your kids about suicide, 13 Reasons, and here's what it is, and it's a Netflix series that your kids are watching. Mm-hmm. It is influencing their hearts and minds, so you better know what it is. Doesn't mean you have to watch it, which I encourage you probably don't watch it, but you need to at least know that it's out there, know that kids are watching it. But it was hard for me to kind of see some things in that.
Oh yeah,
it's a hard show to watch.
It's graphic.
It's very graphic, and so I'm not encouraging anyone to watch it. But you need to know it's out there. But it goes along with this suicide, mm-hmm. depression.
Yep.
But I think it's a captivating story because the threads of all these different personalities, any kid would be able to watch it and identify with at least one, if not several, characters in that show. So,
and I think that show, the fact that show was made, and, you know, Selena Gomez was the producer for that show, and the fact that was her heart, she wanted to bring that issue to light, says a lot about where we are as a culture. I mean, our culture is talking about this issue, and whether or not we're talking about in a positive or negative way, it's something that our students are very aware of. I mean, we were just in a school last week, I think, and we were in just having a discussion with some students, and 13 Reasons Why came up. And we were like, okay, how many of you have watched this show? And several of them raised their hands. And we were like, all right, what is appealing about this? Like, why did you guys watch it? And their answer was like, well, it's very relatable. Like, there's characters in here, like you said, that, like, okay, I identify with that. And so if that is the case, like, okay, how do we shift the narrative away from, like, okay, we understand that you are, you know, I identify with this, but instead of going to the alternative of suicide, like, what is a more positive story, and how do we fight through that together? Because students are talking about it. And so, I mean, and that's why we decided to do this, the conversation kit, because we're like, 13 Reasons Why sparked a huge conversation in culture, and it got a lot of pushback, and it also got a lot of praise. And so how are we as Christians going to handle the conversation of depression, anxiety, suicide? Because we need to, just like pornography or anything else, huge issue today.
Yeah, cutting. Yeah, social media, drinking, drugs, vaping. Vaping's been a big deal here on our campus. Sex and sexual identity. It goes, and sexuality. It goes to your point of identity, and I think that all these are rooted. But the gospel speaks into these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there is a grander story that, and it is good news. It is the good news of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Our school name is Evangelical Christian School. So literally Evangelion, which is the gospel, Little Christ. That's what the word Christian, the good news, Little Christ School is our name. And so we are, and it's important in my heart as head of school for kids to have a proper right understanding of the gospel. Mm. And that the culture is, they're to be redemptive agents within the culture in which they live, and it's important for them to understand the gospel well. It's through all these things. So I'm so glad y'all are here speaking to the students. Here's another question I have: what are some ways parents can be equipped on what is going on with their children? For me, it's so hard to keep up with.
The whole
thing.
There's a lot going on,
and I'm a busy guy. I'm a professional, and I've got stresses and things there, and kids all over the place to get to. But I guess for a typical parent out there, how can they be equipped for having those conversations? Because I think a lot of parents are just scared. They're scared to enter the space, and they would almost rather just not talk about it than actually hit it head on. And that's not the right response. We're called to be. We only have a few years with them. Mm-hmm. So how do we enter that space well?
Yeah, I think it can feel like, I don't know, this huge job, and it is. I think it's a very important job, but you can start small. I think sometimes, Dan, you brought this up in the parent meeting last night here, but you were saying, like, a lot of times we feel like we have to wait till it's perfect, and we know everything, and we have the complete answer, and are we ever there? Like, I don't know that we ever reach that point. And so just like starting a conversation, even like just saying, okay, what's going on in your life? Granted, sometimes students are not always willing to like start that conversation. And in that case, we have certain like resources that we have, like the Culture Translator. That's a free resource that you can use as a starting point in conversation and actually hearing what's happening in students' lives. And then that gives you a talking point. That gives you
find out. So it's axis.org/CT. Parents, sign up for that. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. And all you have to do is sign up with your email, and then you get it every Friday. Yeah, axis.org/CT. And then it gives you a talking point. And so it's less scary of like, how do I start talking? And they care about it. That's something that they know about, or maybe they've heard. And I think that is an encouraging way just to start to reclaim that conversation, to help your students start reclaiming culture rather than just seeing it as this negative thing, which is a message we often hear.
Yeah. And even outside of, Access's resources, I think questions are always so powerful. Like, ask your kids, like, hey, what are you listening to today? What TV shows have you been watching? And then ask why, like, all right, what's appealing about it? And then you start to get a glimpse into their heart and what they enjoy, and then actually participate in some of that with them. And then you slowly start to learn, and then that provides even more talking points. Access is all about starting conversation.
Yep.
And conversation happens when you ask questions and you take a genuine interest in, what's going on in your students' lives. And because there is a gap there, and, parents don't always understand, why is my kid always on their phone or playing video games? Like, well, okay, instead of maybe asking, like, why are they always on it? Let's say, hey, why do you enjoy this? Like, and maybe you can show me something that, or like, I can play a video game with you or something like that. So I think questions are always super powerful. We do have more resources as well. So for instance, our biggest thing right now is our Parenting Teen Summit. And it is a digital summit that we put on for 2 to 3 weeks. And we interviewed 51 different experts, from James Dobson to Craig Gross, who's the pastor of Triple X Church, Craig Rochelle, who a pastor of Life Church, which is the biggest church in America, Les Parrott, everyone. Because they are speaking into a space that we can't, because we're not parents.
Yeah.
And we don't have that wisdom. And so we're like, all right, we need to go find people who do have that wisdom and have experience. And so we got to interview them. And so like, that's one way that you can, all right, I need to know about sexuality. All right, we have several interviews on that. I need to know about technology or racial reconciliation or whatever topic it is. You know, you can go find it there. But ultimately, it all happens around conversation. Even if you do have resources, I think if we are not asking questions and willing to engage in conversation with our kids, then the resources don't matter anyways. So start with conversation and ask questions. And I think that's probably one of the most powerful things that we can do.
Well, thanks for joining us. We're going to have a part two to this discussion. And so I'm so glad y'all are here with us. Logan and Courtney with Axis. KOKO, keep on keeping on. Slow the door, Gloria.